Blog Talk Radio.
Boss Lady Publishing.
Oh, man, I'm just in here, Miss Leisha, trying to maintain, getting ready for this hot, hot show on a Wednesday night, our special Writing Royalty edition. We have some great authors coming into the clubhouse this evening, and we're going to be talking about Puss and Boots. We're going to get into some different dynamics. Yeah, we're going to get to some different dynamics about, you know, sexuality. Is it overrated? You know, in the workplace, there's a whole lot of different dynamics. We're going to go over our people using that to get fame and fortune. You know, we're going to talk about a lot of different aspects in the clubhouse tonight once we get our wonderful, wonderful authors in here. And we're going to let our guests weigh in on how they feel about this hot, hot, tough topic.
It is very hot. I need to turn the air on.
Oh, Lord. Not the air.
Yes, the air. My.
So go ahead. Give us a little bit on these authors that we have coming in here tonight and their and the work that they have.
Absolutely, absolutely. We have two wonderful authors who are from our author wife, Vanna B., has a publishing company. We have Danisha Darice. She's an up-and-coming author bringing her creativity to life by penning tales of fiction. She was born and raised in Indianapolis. Danisha has only dreamed of being two things, a lawyer and a writer. Receiving degrees and paralegal studies. Why is it that we all we get is either lawyers or paralegals, Nene? I think you bringing that on.
What? I didn't even do anything yet. That's a good thing. It's good to see people going for their higher education. I love it.
Absolutely. She's receiving degrees in paralegal studies, criminal justice, public management, and she worked as a criminal defense paralegal, sounds like Nene to me, for over 4 years ago. After realizing she no longer desired to become an attorney, Danisha decided to follow her dream. Her first novel, The Hustle, was completed while she was had her plate full with motherhood, college. She had a full-time job. She's writing a book and receiving a publishing deal within a year. I mean, she's doing her thing. Go ahead, girl.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have Jay Darling. She is Darlene. She is an Army brat who traveled all over the world with her family before settling down in Fort Worth, Wayne, Indiana. She later moved to Indianapolis and obtained a Juris Doctorate from Indiana University of Law. Another law. See, Nene, I think this is you. You did this.
These are all my friends.
Where she discovered an aptitude for writing, earning herself a spot on her school's law review. Go on, girl. After practicing law for 5 years, she discovered her artistic talent through using her creative skills to initiate countless jury and bench trials. This inspired her to pursue her passion by harnessing her imagination to make fictional characters come to life. Oh, wow. That's what I'm talking about, ladies.
Mm-hmm. That's on point. Those biographies are absolutely wonderful. Like, to hear that is like an honor. That's really, really good to hear that, you know, and to see that, you know, we are more than just, you know, writing urban fiction. You know what I'm saying? We have very intelligent men and women, you know, who have degrees, who have families and high-profile careers, but they write on the side, you know, at-home mothers who are educating their children at home, and they're also able to write. This gives them the opportunity to do all those other things they want to do, you know, with their family. So it's good to have authors like this on the show, so that it shows a different side, you know, so it's not just, oh, they're just over there writing about, you know, situations in the hood. You know, they have,
absolutely,
everybody has a very diverse pen, and you have a different, you know, variety of writer throughout the genre. So it's good to have them on here and highlight their career, highlight their path, and where they're going. And we're going to also get into that hot topic. But until we have Miss Tony, she hasn't pulled into the studio yet. I think Aaron's down in the green room. He likes to roam off all around the studio, so we're going to wait for him to get his life and tune on in here. In the meantime, you can go ahead on, Miss Leisha, and pay the bills.
Absolutely, absolutely. I want to actually say, before we pay some bills, I want to do like a brief mini commercial. Shout out to author Sweepy. Her book did drop today. It is available. The link is live. Now, to all the readers that love a good street lit book, there's her new book. Everybody's been talking about it. It's called Love Don't Love Nobody. It's a sexy, gritty. It's a sexy and gritty book. It's just released today. It's only 99 cents. It is on sale. But that's not the best part. You want to make sure you check out Arthur Sleepy's Facebook page, because she is giving away two, not one, but two tablets to a lucky reader. So you guys make sure you friend her if you are not already friends with her. Now, the winner will be announced tomorrow. So make sure that you go right over to her page, make sure you friend her so that you can get put into that drawing to receive a free tablet. And when you get to her page, you want to make sure you look for a posted flyer. It has all the details on it. You guys make sure you go out and one-click her book and make sure you add her on Facebook so that you can be in the running to get one of those two tablets that she'll be giving out. That's awesome.
Yes, it is. That's really, really good. Authors giving back. That's really good.
Absolutely. And, you know, I've been reminding everybody, but Sisters on Lit, if you are in the D.C. area or you plan on being in the D.C. area, they are having a book fair next May. It's May 2nd, 2015. So if you'll be in the area or you want to be a vendor or you want to attend or you want additional questions, I'm posting the flyers. It has the email, email information for you to be able to contact them and get additional information on the event. I post it up everywhere, so I'll make sure I post it up again in Writing Royalty tonight so that those that live in the area or want to travel to the area will be able to attend. And you'll be there, right, Nene?
I believe I will. I've been invited. Yes, I've been invited, so I believe I will be there.
Absolutely. Now, we want to make sure that you guys go on. Nene has been working really hard, for real hard. She's been working me hard, so I know she's working hard. So she has Trap 4. So if you have not picked up the Pussy Trap 1, 2, and 3, you want to make sure you pick that up and make sure you read them, so that you can get caught up in the trap, because Trap 4 is coming, and it's coming fast and hard. So make sure y'all are ready for this event, because it will be an event by the time we get done. Everybody going to be tired. You're going to feel like you've been in a party. She also has Tainted too. That'll be coming out as well. Now, you want to make sure that you read Tainted 1 because there is a little special pussy trap, little twist in there. And you're going to need to read Part 1 of Tainted and Part 2 of Tainted, as well as 1, 2, and 3 of the pussy trap. So you're going to need all of those books. So all you need to pre-trappers, make sure that you guys have read up those books, read them again so you can get caught up. Also, we got Mr. Aaron Bebo. Oh, Dreamweaver. Make sure y'all go out and get that Dreamweaver. I have read it. That book is hot. It's hot. Make sure you go out and get Dreamweaver. Make sure you go out and pick up Aaron Bebo's The Last Dawn. That book is so funny. I don't know if it's meant to be funny, but I'm laughing through the whole thing. But he did an awesome job. He did an awesome job. And you can pick up also I Used to Love Her. And that, I don't know if his boo thing is still on there. See, he's not in to say. So I don't know if boo thing is still on there on sale, but I'll make sure I check. If it is, I'll make sure I post the link so that everybody can be able to get that because he's about to change up some things. So I want to make sure you guys get that read. And it looks like we do have one of our guests in the clubhouse.
Okay, please let him on in.
Hey, how are you? Donisha?
Hello? Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Good.
We're doing good. Thank you for coming into the clubhouse this evening. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We're going to get in here tonight, and we're going to talk about your literary journey. We're going to get into our hot, hot topic this evening, and we're going to get it jumping in the clubhouse this evening. Please let our listeners hear about your literary journey.
Wow. Well, the actual concept for The Hustle I had for a while, it just came from me being a woman and thinking about women being strong and how sometimes women get played by men. And I actually had an uncle who told me about an over-the-counter product that if it's placed in your drink, it can be used like it's kind of like to be a date rape drug. And so it scared me from a young age because you always see things about date rape drugs and how women are getting used and everything. So I took that concept along with Jay Darlene and we flipped it. What if the women are out there doing the hustling?
Absolutely. Now, how did you guys come to write this book together? And, I mean, you know, you guys are both basically the same major. You're going to into law. She's a lawyer. How did you guys come to writing this book together?
We worked at the same legal agency. We both worked at a legal agency, so we became friends. And I had just received a graduate certificate in public management, and she said, well, what's your next step going to be? And I was like, honestly, I want to write a book. And she said, me too. Surprise. So we sat down and just started discussing the concept for The Hustle, and we started writing that day. So we were still working at the agency and writing during our time off.
Absolutely. I know that would, I think that would have had to be very, not only interesting, but fun to be able to kind of write a book with your friend, you know, and just have, like, be on the same as far as your thought process and things of that nature. I think that's going to be a really hot book. I love the cover, too.
Thank you. Thank you. Thanks to our publisher, Vanna B. She definitely, we both worked on the concept for the, all three of us worked on the concept for the book cover. She got the models together and got everything together, and she did that. We love it. It looks good. It looks interesting. So we really do love the book cover. And hopefully people get it, that these ladies are basically hustling. The book cover looks like they're getting into something.
Okay.
It sure does.
I think the other author is here. Bring her in, Leisha, so that we can go ahead on and get the next level of the conversation going and all get in the mix.
Hey, Jay, how are you?
Hey, how are you?
Hi, how
Good.
Are you? Welcome.
Uh-oh.
Thank you for coming
can
out to the club. Can she hear us?
Yes, I can hear you. Thanks for having us.
Okay.
We're so excited to be here.
Yes, yes, and we're excited to have you. She was just telling us about her literary journey. Please, you know, let the listeners hear about your literary journey, how you two came to write this book, and then we're going to get right into our hot topic because I think a lot of the concepts in the book plays well into what we're going to discuss this evening with the subject Puss and Boots.
Yeah, well, me and Denisha, we worked in the same office together. I was an attorney, and she was one of the paralegals in the office. Wasn't too many black people, black faces in our office, so we made it a point to become friends. And one day we were out to lunch, and I knew that she was graduating, and her next step was law school. That's what she last told me, and I asked her, was that still her plan? And she was like, no, she wanted to write. And I was like, I do too. I just can't get anything on paper. So we started talking about it that day, and she told me her idea of the hustle. And I said, let's do this today. And we started writing that same day. And it's been a great experience.
Okay. That's good. Now, with both of the professions, do you put a lot of your experience and work into the writing?
No. I guess kind of, Jay. I mean, one of the characters does want to be a lawyer, so maybe a tad bit.
Mm-hmm.
But,
okay.
I mean, that was already the concept of the book that Denisha originally had. And so, I mean, with her being a lawyer, it wasn't really my experience so far. And I didn't even write that character. Denisha did. I wrote the other character that wasn't a lawyer. I mean, some things you do, you pull from experience. Like if I was in this situation when I was writing, what would I do? Out there, like, shrugging eyes and doing all the crazy stuff in the book, you know?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. Now, with tying your work together, we're talking about the hustle, you know, and different things women do. Do you think that, like, women are, like, compromising themselves in this day and time, you know, with sexuality, you know, using that to get up? Are men also using theirs, you know, to encourage women in the workplace to, you know, stay in certain positions so they can aid them? How do y'all feel about that?
Wow, that's a good one. I think kind of with the agency that we work for, you can see, like, different people, and you can see, like, okay, yeah, they might be hooking up. And it does feel like some people, you see somebody hooking up with somebody, and the next thing you know, they're promoted. I don't know. But I'm just saying.
So it definitely happens.
Yeah, not necessarily in our office, but just in general, you see it happen all the time, like, oh, okay. So, and I think it's used both ways. I don't think it's exclusively for women because I think men do it just as much as women.
Hmm.
Oh, yes.
Hmm.
They do.
Wow. Okay.
Sex has been something since the beginning of time, and, of course, people use that to their advantage whenever they can. Kind of like the characters in our book, they use their sexuality to their advantage. It's nothing new under the sun, and it's nothing that's going to ever change, I think.
Well, good evening, people. I apologize for my tardiness.
Hey.
I had an emergency.
Hey, B.
Yes, hello. I had a serious emergency. You wouldn't believe what happened. I'm serious. Yeah, you know it had to be an emergency because I just was talking to Nene, and then it's like as soon as I hung up with her, so
over.
I was going to have to call the fire department.
Oh, no.
Forget about dinner.
But anyway, thank you for joining us, Mr. Arabiro. We're so happy you're in the clubhouse. The ladies have jumped it off. We're talking about this Puss and Boots. You know, she talked about in her job, you know, they had people, you know, that might hook up next to you, folks got a promotion. You know, is sexuality taking over, you know, career paths and, you know, opportunities. What do you think, Mr. Bebo?
Is sexuality taking over career paths and opportunities? Sexuality been taking over career paths and opportunities.
That's what she just said.
Like, that's just a natural, mm-hmm. like, that's just a natural thing, like, you know what I mean? Like, especially when you're dealing with a workplace that it's a hostile environment with competition, and then you got females, and if it's a male boss, like, I talked about this before, like, and then I know y'all going to get mad at me, but I keep going back to this, like, women really promote their sexuality first. Like, that's what they do to be like, yo, I'm the one. You know
wow.
what I mean? Like, you ain't gonna catch no woman that's out there like, well, my stuff might be all right. You know what I mean? Like, every female you encounter, she gonna be like, I got the bomb. You know what I mean? So
well, men are the same. Isn't that like
that's
men
not,
do it around talking about
that's not true because let me tell you something. A woman could probably insult a man and he may believe it. And what I like if she be like, ah, yeah, like he
I see what
you're like, saying. Like, nigga, you ain't even got nothing. Like, he may actually believe it, and he may be holding, but the fact that she said that may shrink his character. Because, at the men push out through their masculinity. Like, we more thrive on masculinity. However, we have much more different outlets than women to deal with each other. And that's why you will see a lot of females say things like, I don't really got no female friends. I don't really be messing with females like that because they don't have no coordination to where they get a chance to exploit being feminine with other females like that. You know what I mean? Like with men, we play ball. You know, we got sports. You know, we got different activities where we have to unify for that little period and be men and work together in different aspects. Females don't really indulge in a lot of things like that. Together.
Huh, so. Really. I can understand where you're coming from in an aspect of that because even the female sport is still very competitive within the sport. Like whatever, like you got other things that females do, the modeling, the gymnastics, the ballet. Like you have to try to be better than like
yeah.
all the time. Not
yeah.
to say that in the male sport, each player isn't playing their best in their role. You know what I'm saying? But it's a more team. Type of
yeah, exactly.
It's more camaraderie.
Right. Look at rap. It could only be one queen of rap at one time, and it could be like 20, like real hot ass female MCs. But like they only gonna let one be the one at any given moment. You know
that's
what I mean? Because they're gonna separate them. They're gonna keep them, or they'll separate themselves. Like. I'm the baddest bitch. I'm badder than her. You know what I mean? Like, women have that cattiness. You
and
know
even
I mean?
Within that, it's highly sexual. You know,
yeah, that's
the,
what I'm saying. It goes back
yeah.
to the sexual thing. Like, it'll go right back to the vanity thing. Like, if they don't like a woman, before they insult her for the reason why they may have started disliking her, it'll go to something vain first. Like, she don't even know how to dress. Or look at her hair. Look how she looks. And that may not even be the reason why. You know what I mean? They started disliking her. So it'd be crazy. Like she may just have a rotten mouth and talk foul out her mouth, but they'll talk about everything about her except her mouth until they get ready to put that final period on. You know what I mean? Nah, seriously. So I think that with women, like, of course it goes on. And then men, a lot of men bend the sexuality. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of men bend to sexuality. So when you have it in a workplace like that, like, a woman has to be competitive. She like, who you think going to be the boss favorite? The one who could get the job done, make his coffee, and might give him a hell of a blowjob? Or the one that could just make some good coffee and get the job done? You know what I mean? Like,
Jay and Dionysia, what y'all sound off on this? What was y'all think on this? Because y'all both attorneys. Let's talk about it.
I think what he's saying is true. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Okay, I think what he's saying is true. Women don't unify, but in my experience, I have a lot of female friends. Yeah, we do things together, but in the general community of womanhood, you do see the cattiness. That's the one thing that I enjoy working with Denisha. We were able to work together, and none of that was there. Like, two women can come together for a cause, you know? So I agree with him.
I mean, I agree with him, but I think any argument he has, he can turn it on his head and say the same thing about men. Men have the same competitive nature, and now it seems like men are even pettier. Look at a lot of these rap beefs when they get to, or even look, any type of beef a man has, they start bringing each other's women into it. Your women.
Yeah, but it don't be sexual, though. It don't be sexual. Like, you'll be hard-pressed to talk. You'll hear another man say something, they'll say pause, just because it got something to do with another, like, any type. It's like sticking out your chest ain't talking about sticking out your cock for men. It's a little bit different. You know,
I don't
like,
know,
you ain't
Aaron.
Gonna hear her.
I don't know.
No,
because
no,
I think
listen
it is
to what
sexual.
I'm going with. No, how is it sexual?
It is
I'm going at another man sexually?
No, because
absolutely not.
Women,
I'm not
going to
compare
women,
myself. I'm not going to be like, hey,
no.
Oh, this is
the
little.
Women, but the women that's involved, they're all involved with them. So, like, what she's saying about these emotional men, you know what I'm saying? Like, even if you look at the situation where you got Floyd Mayweather and all of them is sleeping with the same women, like, in the industry. Like, they all been around, been with, or whatever. They got their own little dirty secrets. And it is a sexual type of thing. It is, you know, them flexing, you know, that masculinity. You know what I'm saying? Oh,
nah,
and
you know
using
what it
them
is?
Females, using them females to get at their nerves.
Nah,
your baby mama
you know
this,
what it
your
is?
Baby mama that.
You know what it is? That's a female at work again. Let me show you what's going on there. And an insecure, two insecure men. That's a female flaunting her sexuality. First of all, she already know these two dudes got something, but she playing it off like she going out to this dude party with her friend, knowing that her man don't like this dude, but they going through something. They done already made it public before she done went out here to this party that they going through something. So now she's being the disobedient woman, not the wife. She being the disobedient woman going to be around somebody who she already know he's insecure about because of the way this guy is. Just this guy's actions could make him insecure. Not that he ever really did anything to him, but it's just some guys, you'd be like, yo, this nigga be tricking. And he be being
did
real disrespectful
the word,
with it.
That's what I disagree with.
Did he
right
use the
there.
Word disobedient?
That right there.
Did.
Listen, I'm using the word disobedient.
No,
I'm using that word because we're talking about a wife.
No,
remember,
you said
I
not
said
a
that.
Wife, a girlfriend, though.
No, I said she's going out there being a disobedient woman and not a wife because a wife would be home with her man no matter what's going on. But like I said, she made it public. They having problems. Then she went around somebody that makes him insecure. It's not a double standard.
As far as Tiny and T.I. was, I think that's what you're talking about. T.I. was out with his guys, but as soon as she goes out and she says hello, then all of a sudden
it's a problem.
Her fault. She's disobedient.
Because you know what? At the end of the day,
she's
not
a
good
wife.
You know why?
No,
because that's not her.
Ways. Two people are in a relationship.
Nah,
people.
But that's not her, though.
God said you get with someone that you're equally yoked with, not that the man is more equally yoked than the woman. You can't have two, and you know what equally yoked means. It means that back in the day, back in biblical times, when they had two donkeys or two horses together, they would put an actual yoke, piece of wood around their neck. Now, you couldn't have a horse with a donkey because they were not equally yoked, and they would not be able to pull together. You need someone equally yoked. So in the same instance with T.I. and Tiny, he was out doing his thing, but as soon as Tiny comes out and does her thing, all of a sudden she's disobedient. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't.
Nah,
they
you know why it works that way?
Responsibilities in their actions.
You know why it works that way? Because I tell females this all the time, especially any female that we get interested in each other and we about to take it to another level. The same way that you are when we establish who we are, together as one, you have to remain that way, and we have to grow together. Like, you can't start growing apart from me. That's really her. She don't be hanging out like that. We've all seen him put her on punishment on the phone when he was locked up. She was sick to go somewhere where I was. So that's her, that's her character.
In a marriage. A marriage is a partnership.
Nah,
your children
but listen,
are disobedient. No, your
nah,
children are
not,
disobedient. Not
she's not
spouse.
Doing what she normally
Hold
do.
On.
If she would normally stay home, if he'd be like, yo, stay
I'm
home.
I'm not buying that.
But it's actually
I can't buy into it that she doesn't normally do it, so she can't do it now, and now the whole situation is all her fault.
Exactly.
I can't buy into
Why
that.
Would you would accept something that,
is,
that your man don't normally
not.
Do?
And she always would, has been going out. I've seen her out with her friends all the time.
In Atlanta.
But it's just not in public.
Not in Vegas. In Atlanta, you got to know the difference. Like I said,
exactly.
What I'm talking about is actual facts. She wasn't going out when he said don't go. But that one time they was going through something, and she decided to disobey what he was doing. And she really displayed a part of character that wasn't even her.
He's in Vegas and she's in Vegas, so they're in the same town going out. And didn't they get arrested together before, drug possession? Weren't they together?
Together.
But they're both in Vegas. They're in the same city together. He's hanging with his boy. She's hanging with her girl.
Listen, if I'm telling you, look, I don't want you going to this party that dude is throwing. I'm going to be over here with my boys. I don't care what you do, where you go, but I don't want you going over there. And you do it anyway because me and you going through something.
You was
told
what
her not
was
to go
in a relationship. But that's a pettiness, too. Like, just because you, I don't know,
that's
you're wrong.
Nah, that's not petty. You know, that's not petty. You know what that is? That's a woman, right? That's when a woman and a wife could really understand her man's insecurities and be like, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
He don't
so
know what's going on, but it's cool.
So a woman has to cater to the man's insecurities, but
yeah,
not the other way around?
You keep talking about the Bible.
She's a prosecutor. She's about to put you on the stage, on the jury panel. You about to be sitting in the box, Aaron.
I just hope that she's coming with something serious. Nah, because what I'm talking about is facts. She's not like she could be the prosecutor and the judge, but she can't dispute the facts. The facts are the facts. Like, even if you go in the biblical sense, it says that the woman leaves her mother and father and cleaves to her husband.
The man leaves his parents as well. It's not like
Alicia, are you rewriting the Bible? Because it don't say that in the Bible. It says
what I
said in the Bible. But
you
just said it, don't say that.
It actually says when you are married, you are submissive to each other.
To
be specific, it doesn't say the woman leaves their marriage. It says the man leaves, not the woman.
Okay.
That's what it says, okay?
All right, go to the Bible and take a look.
Okay.
You do some research while we
I know that's
dang.
Scripture. That's the fact.
The fact
of the matter is it goes both ways. People try to say, no, the woman needs to be obedient, submissive, but that – it's submissive as in, I mean, just like I don't have to do everything my husband says, that we work together, okay? That
right.
We work together on our issues, and that's defined within each relationship. You know what I'm saying?
So what happens when
it's not a fallout. So if my husband disagrees that I did something, that doesn't mean I'm disobedient. It doesn't mean that I'm not submissive.
Are we ready,
Aaron?
Are you ready for Mark? Hold on, Aaron. Mark 10:7 says, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife." Bam.
Amen. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Well, listen.
We set that apology in advance because you were wrong.
Thank
you. I was wrong there. I admit that. There's no excuse.
There's nothing like a man who can admit that.
But at the end of the day, when a woman is not listening to her husband and her husband is not listening to their wife, they're being disobedient, period. Like, there's no justification for that.
I still don't consider it disobedient.
You can't expect your wife
to follow
you.
Is this the word disobedient that's bothering you?
I don't see my husband as being disobedient because I'm not his parent. I'm not his mother. He's not my father. Children are disobedient. Now, if we have an agreement to do something and I go to the left and we agree to go to the right, then I'm wrong. But I'm not being disobedient.
What's wrong?
It works both ways, like the lady said.
Exactly.
Like
you said, this is
a war game. Yeah. You cannot expect to do whatever you want and for your wife to do whatever is right. It just doesn't work like that. You can't be out here doing whatever you want and be like, oh, but you stay home and you don't do that. You can't.
I'm going to tell you something. In my opinion, that's about being equally yoked, too, because if y'all both the same, then it ain't equal. Because all the weight is on one side. If y'all both the same thing, it ain't no whiz. All the weight is on one side. Y'all got to have balance. And I'm not saying it got to be bad. I'm just saying that it could be good and good, meaning that she does this well, and that's what she does to help the relationship, and he does this well, and that's what he does to help the relationship. He
but
may be a hell of a cook, and she may be, yeah, but
everybody
she
has
be going,
to be able to give up them a part of themselves and say, this is what I'm going to do. It's a choice. It's not because I have to. It's because I want to. Marriage is like a partnership. It's
no,
like a corporation.
No, the choice
you're building
ends
and you're
when you make
expanding.
The marriage.
It's a choice.
The choice
it is
ends.
A choice, though. It is
still,
still
a choice once you get married.
I've said that before. Yes. Each couple gets married that they should sit down and define their relationship and what that means to them. I mean, and
me
then
too.
Go from there. I mean, you cannot do something as serious as marriage without having that definition, or else that bond is going to break. A bond is not supposed to break, it's going to break. And I mean, I have it on my wall. Like, we sat up there and we thought about it, and it's based on scripture of what we want out of our relationship. And we sat there and made those definitions. Now, and we both need to follow that. Now, if we don't, then our bond is going to be broken, and I don't think that we're going to be equally yoked anymore at that point. And that's what we have to work on doing throughout our marriage, is making sure that we follow the foundation that we set for ourselves. A lot of people just do things just to do it because it sounds good, just so they can say they're Mr. and Mrs., but they don't really think about what that actually means to come together as a union.
Yo,
and start a family.
And you know
and
what? You are so right.
You are so right, yo. And
yes.
I'm speaking from a person who has been married and is now divorced. You are right. I have the full experience of what you were talking about because I've been there, and I have the results of it.
Mm-hmm.
And you are right. When it's not right, when two people have not actually outlined what the hell their understanding is with each other and to each other and for each other, it is not going to work. Bottom line.
Print it out and put it on the wall. That's what we did. Frame it.
Yeah, I definitely got to agree with you 100% there, but I'm still stuck on the fact that women definitely exercise sexual prowess way more than men in almost every situation.
Well, in that instance, I agree with you. Just to go back to your relationship to the rappers, you only see one, it is true, you only see one big female rap star at a time, and usually they're sexual in nature. The only female rappers that I think that hasn't been sexual in nature is MC Light and Queen Latifah.
Yeah.
Now, my day, I grew up on Lil' Kim, then it was Foxy Brown, and now it's Nicki Minaj, who just exudes sex. And I love Lil' Kim. Knew all her songs. I was riding my car talking about the ill, nah, nah, like. And that's what it is, and that's just being careful what you listen to and watch. You got to ear you got to guard your eye gate, your ear gate. The more you listen to something, the more you watch something, the more it gets into you and it becomes into you, you know. And then you become that sexualized being. So that's all we see on TV, in the magazines when we go outside, and that's just how it is.
Yeah, Cause
and
you
I don't
know what?
Think that it's going to change too much. Individuals can change, but overall, I don't think that the nature of women and their sexuality and using that to their advantage is going to change.
Exactly. And you know what? I agree with you. I just want women all over the world to agree with you and stop acting like that ain't what it is. Like, women be sitting back acting like that's not what it is. Like, nah, it ain't even got nothing to do with my sexuality. Like, knock it off. Like, if you know, who's not going to push forward with they best aspect, they best foot forward? And in most cases, even women that have master degrees, that are smart beyond means, be pushing their sexuality to the forefront. Like, that's just the way it is.
But I don't think it's women in general, where you're generalizing it and you're making it like every woman, because every woman is not like that. I think it depends on the type
I think
of
it's
woman
a great majority.
And what she has on the inside. It depends on the type of woman and what she has on the inside. I don't believe that every woman is going to push their sexuality. You have some women that prefer not to, you know, have tight-fitting shirts across their chest or tight-fitting pants. You know, that you have women that do that, and they're
not. It's
not
just that, though. That it's not just that pulls out the sexuality. A woman could be in a dress that's not showing a curve, and her mouth could be leaking out to the sexuality. She just talking that ish, like she just talks like that.
So
it makes it sexual.
Men do it too. They you got some men that refer, most men refer themselves to some grade A beast. Really? You have men that do it all the
See,
time.
See, that's what I'm saying. Men
and women
common.
Do it.
Men,
it is
men
true.
Are common
you,
with it.
When I used to
it's nothing.
I would meet men all the time. It was a no-go. The first conversation or one of the few first conversations that I had to them, and they start initiating or trying to relate everything to sex. I'm not saying anything about sex. I'm keeping it away from them. But when they do that, that's being sexual to me. And they're trying to, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
I think men do it too. They just don't want to admit to it.
No, men do
it. They
do
it all
listen,
the time.
Listen, men do it. But the difference with men is, here's the difference, okay? Men are more... they're more brute with it, meaning then most men aren't going to sit around and be tinkering with the same toy. Meaning if a woman ain't giving it up, they're like, okay, I'm out of here. Like, I'm about to go mess with somebody else. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Women will set a goal on something and really play it out. Like, yo, this person has this, and this is what they want. This is how I got to do it. And they will have a plan for it. Men don't have plans. It's mostly always random. Like, it's not a, like, no guy's actually sitting around like, yo, I'm about to start an affair. It'd be random. They see somebody, they'd be like, oh, man, I'm going to have sex with her. Or, you know, whatever transpires through conversations or whatever, and things go from there. It don't be no goal to it. Women have a mindset of having a goal towards it. Like, yo, I got to do this to get this. They already be having an end result other than, you know, trying to you know, have a nut or orgasm or something like that.
So I have a question.
So
for you.
What you're saying is,
go ahead. Well, I just had a question for him, just to kind of understand everything. Now, because this disobedient thing, I don't know why it's just sitting on my spirit like that. So is it disobedient when the man is constantly going out and hanging with his boys, and maybe he's going to hang out with somebody that his wife doesn't too much care for? Is that disobedient as well?
That's the end of your question? Yeah, I'm going to tell you right now.
You,
no,
if
she met him like
no?
that and that's what he was doing, like if she met him like that and that's what he was doing, and before they got married, like...
Mm-hmm.
he was doing that, and they didn't sit down and have those discussions, and he didn't come to date. They didn't have that understanding, like, yo, look, we about to get married now, so, you know, it's a different, but our level of respect and things need to change and reflect this change that we're about to make. And if they can't come to that understanding for him to already know not to be doing nothing that would be deemed disrespectful to his wife, then they shouldn't be married. She shouldn't be having to sit home and wondering if it's disrespect because he's out with Curtis. Because he really shouldn't be out with Curtis if her ill will is that strong for Curtis. You feel me? Like, that's just my, for real, that's my for real answer with that.
Well, what you think on this, Ms. Tony? You got 22 years. Bring your 22 years on in this discussion, and let's get it together, honey.
Hey, Nisha. Hello, everybody.
What's going on?
I'm doing good. I'm just trying to get the gist of the flow of the conversation, but I want to back up to what Bebo said about if a man comes across a woman and she's not receptive of his advances. There are some men that like a challenge of a woman that's not acceptive of his advances. So he sets his mind out to conquer her. I may not be using the right word as far as conquer, but there are some men that like to go after someone that has initially brushed them off. Don't you agree? Or no?
Yeah, that happens. But what I'm saying is, in the meantime, they're not going to stop any of those man activities. Like, they'll still be being a man. Like, they'll still be moving like they're not committed. They may commit themselves to the chase, but they'll be like, okay, well, I'm going to wait for this to happen. But in the meantime, I'm still over here with my black book. Whereas a woman, if she really has her goals set on something, like, she'll really start cutting people out her life. Like, you know what, I think I'm really getting about to be serious about this guy. I'm about to stop talking to so-and-so. So-and-so need to stop calling when he randomly. Like, they'll already start making the steps to get this guy. They'll be like, somebody will call them, be like, yo, look, you know, I think you need to really just stop calling here, or I think you need to just stop popping up here like this because we not really like that no more. And they'll be like, you got somebody new in your life? Like, nah, it ain't that. I got nobody new. But see, women will cut you off so smoothly because they already know what they're about to do. That's what I'm saying. Well, men, it'd be random. Like, we don't be thinking it that far through. You know what I mean? We just be like, all right, I'm definitely interested in her, but right now I don't know what she got going on, so I'm going to keep on talking to, you know, so-and-so over here until me and her could get on the same page. And it's just going to be like men be moving like that. Now, you will have men that are just totally keep pursuing and just won't stop. But those are very few and far in between. Like, that's not really – how many women right now on the phone really see chivalry at an all-time high right now? That are – you're seeing it. Like, you're actually seeing it out there when you're out there watching.
No,
I'm not talking about in your relationship. I'm talking out in the world. When you're out moving around, how often are you seeing chivalry? How often are you seeing men walk around the car and open up a woman's door? You know what I mean? Like, when is those things? How often are you hearing about, how often are men actually courting women now? People are jumping in bed so quick these days, it's not even funny. Let's not lie to ourselves.
I think it's because they don't know how to court. That's because they don't know how. They didn't have the example. But there are people have had the example and that do court, and they do hold the elevator open. They hold the door open. They do all of those chivalrous things. But, you know, you have to look at that individual person. It's based on the individual. If they didn't have anybody to teach them what courting was or how to court somebody, then they're just going to jump in the bed with them because they don't know. That's the difference between just not doing it and not knowing how to do it. They might think what they're doing is courting, but they don't know exactly what it is because they didn't ever have an example. They didn't see their parents do it.
And that's all I'm saying. I'm saying that the times that we are living in now, like, we have to be honest, the average man the things that you're talking about, the average man you see holding open the door and all that stuff, guess what? Look on his left. Look on his left hand. He probably married. Even if it ain't his wife, he still knows to do that for a woman. That's why that's happening. He belongs to somebody already. Peep game next time you out.
Mm.
It is his dudes that's already married doing these things. That's already in serious, committed relationships.
Mm.
Not the average Joe. The average Joe is cutting a woman right off. She on her way in the door. It's raining. He about to knock her over. So pardon me, shorty. Pardon me, shorty. I see you with your umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
I disagree with that. I definitely disagree with that.
Okay.
In regards to just that aspect of holding doors, opening doors, being polite, no, because men use that. Men know that women like that. So whether they do it all the time or not, they're going to do it for women. Like, you see studies done when they say an ugly woman doesn't get as much help or doesn't get the door held as much than for a pretty woman. I think men intentionally do it to be polite and to catch women's attention like that, even if they are not a good man.
Mm.
Yo, it's too many thoughts running around right now. Like, I hate to say that. Like, honestly,
that's
like a
true.
Man don't have to do it. He don't have to. Like, I don't have to get your interest right now. Even if you bad, you looking like the summer day right now. If I want to, I could just determine it looking at your face and you coming like, yo. Well, she look like she going to say some slick shit if I talk to her. And may not hold the door open to say nothing to you. But this thought I see bouncing, I'm like, okay, I'm about to make her day. Because it ain't too much brains to that.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So, like, if men, listen, okay, if you think this chivalry is going on and this is still at an all-time high, I love to bring people to your neighborhood because people want to see it.
Because
these men that's doing that is married. When you go to the supermarket, who you see in there? Men with women or a man alone by himself.
Yeah, I have to agree because yesterday I was at a stop sign and I saw this couple come out of a restaurant. And the man actually went over to open the woman's door. And the first thing I looked was to see if I saw rings on that finger. It was just a reflexive reaction. And it's sad that it has to come to that in order for you to see chivalry. Now, I don't know if they were married or not, but it's just funny that you should bring that example up. And I actually saw that yesterday.
Yo, because Tony, you know why? Because I know people. Didn't I tell them where that incident happened with you at on Sunday? I said, nah, that ain't even Miss Tony style. I said, Miss Tony, I said, this is what happened with Miss Tony's situation before you even got on the line. Because I know people. Like, I know people by large. I may not always get you right, but by large, like 9 times out of 10, I got you pegged.
I still don't agree because me and my husband have only been married for three years. We haven't been married very long. When I met him, he's opening doors. He does all of those things, but that's how he is. That's the type of breed of man he is. He does things like that without a problem. He's a good dude.
Let me tell you exactly. Let me tell you another man that do that. A man that is in his late 30s or early 40s, or a man who was a mama's boy or was raised by his grandmother. It's the only men you're going to find with them qualities. Like, these young cats bouncing around here right now is looking for that's what I'm trying to tell you. I'm
his
dead on with
his
this.
Grandfather.
I should be getting paid for this, man. Like, seriously.
You know what, Aaron?
Like, I know people.
With mothers
I
and
know people, yo.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I really know people. That's just it. Like, I'm trying to tell you something. Men is not wasting that much time trying to. Why do I need to be sugary with you when I could go right? I could go right down by the hair store and pick up 5 of you right now.
Aaron is a mess.
Uh-huh. And I just gotta hold open one door. All I gotta do is watch them go in and out. Come on, but like for real, like men, listen, I'm telling you, like women would love to believe certain things like that, but a lot of things ain't happening no more, and a lot of things ain't happening for women, not because of men, but because of a lot of the things that women are doing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, men ain't having to work hard for it no more. You got girls jumping on the internet so at their 18th birthday party, 1201. Like, y'all couldn't wait to do this. You know what I mean? So it's like you got to look at the mentality. And, like, I tell people all the time, like, yo, these is our kids. So the stuff that we was doing, we neglected to leave these jewels with our kids, and now we be looking like, yo, what the hell is wrong with these kids? Like, nah, what the hell is wrong with us? And then we have to try to hide it or act like it's not happening because at the end of the day, we'll have to admit that these are our kids.
Yeah.
But that's just the truth, man. That's why people be trying to act like these things I'm talking about ain't going on. All this stuff is real, man. It's actual fact. Like, for real, like, if men don't have to, but women ain't making it so that men have to respect women by large. And women, too, ain't doing things for women. The womanhood is breaking. Back in the days, yo, when I was growing up, women would stick together no matter. I done seen girls team up and whoop a dude ass. for getting out of line, like, yo, you gonna be hitting my girl, like serious stuff, like real talk. And now, like, women be tearing each other down so much. Like, when I was women was another female would see another female mess up, like, oh man, that's messed up. You know what I mean? Like, now women is fighting all out in the street, mothers encouraging daughters to fight and cut each other and all types of stuff. Like, women have just lost that womanhood. It's still stuck in a man's bond. You know what I mean? Because y'all still got them certain issues, like, y'all stick together on no matter what, like rape. Like, if another woman here, a woman got raped, she don't give a damn. Like, that's a crime against all women. You know, and men just may not feel like that. A man here, another black dude got killed, he'd be like, I ain't like that nigga anyway. Good. You know what I mean? So, like, y'all still got us beat. But y'all womanhood is breaking apart, yo. You see it?
We got a caller, Aaron. Take that caller, 914. Take that caller.
914? Hold on, they must be down.
Do you see it? You want me to just
I might need to refresh my page. Why don't you just go ahead and bring them in?
All right, I will.
Hello?
Hi, 914-619. You're live in the clubhouse.
Hey, how y'all doing? This is Tanya Robinson. I'm late to the party, but I've been listening.
Hey,
hi, Tanya. How you doing, Tanya?
Hey. So, Aaron, you know I got something to say to you. But anyway, the last comment that you just made, why do you think that women are, like, just dogging other women now?
Because I think that... Honestly, I think that it's been perpetuated through media. You know what I mean? More than often, like, just the way that they present vanity. Like, if you see a lot of things with women where they promoting different things for women, you see women competing. Like, women competing for the same dress or, you know, there's just always that competition thing there. And now I think it's just gotten to the point with this younger generation. Like I said, a lot of times, women, the first thing they feel they have to offer is the sex, the sexuality. So now it's just becoming overwhelming because this generation is cool now to you know, go on the internet and take your clothes off and chat with guys, and also it's acceptable. You know what I mean? So it's gotten worse now.
Yeah, I think it's more embedded in the culture now, but my real comment was about chivalry, basically. And I think those type of girls that you're looking for, that you don't have to do that for, I think it depends on the man and the woman, what type of guy they're looking for, because the guys that I date most definitely open the door. Now, the other ones, again, it depends on what time you do it. And I was trying to think, is it just blue collar versus white collar that do it? And no, I think it depends on the guy. And not necessarily that he was raised by just his mama or grandmama or he's a mama's boy. He's just a gentleman. And, yes, they are rare, but they are still around.
Yeah, I believe that. I just think they fall in that age group I talked about or those other categories.
Because those things, these other ones
need to be taught exactly.
Those things have to be taught.
Most of them don't know how to treat a woman because nobody taught them how to do it.
Yeah. Yeah, and that comes with that age, that time. Like, I see mother. Yeah, let me tell you something. I would get popped in my mouth, yo, if I walked in my mother's house and there was people there and I ain't speak.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me? Like, it was things in place that let me know how to move through the world.
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't talk about anybody else's parents or anybody calling nobody, like me addressing my friend's mother by her first name without miss in front of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, it was just certain things you just couldn't do. And now none of those lessons are being taught now.
Mm.
You be hearing kids. I be hearing kids sometimes say, "Yo," addressing them like, "Yo, yo, ma," like, "Yo, what?" Like, for real, because those are the things that my mother would call me in the room for. And just, I already know it's about to happen. Like, it'll be the crazy backhand real fast. You know what I mean? Like, I would call her like that, and she would call me. And then I would know, like, damn.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I'm talking to her like I'm talking to one of them people outside. That would be what I would hear after my lip is busted. You know what I mean? Like, those type of things. Those things ain't happening no more. Mothers ain't being on their daughters no more. They sending their daughters out there to twerk. They got their phone camera on. Like, get it, girl. That's mm-hmm. my baby right now. So when the little dude from up the street is sitting in her living room at 11:30, 12 o'clock at night and the twerk music's still on, she don't think nothing wrong with that because that's her baby still doing her thing. You feel me? They ain't like, yo, what the hell is this nigga still doing in my house? Why does he think it's cool to roll up his weed in here and smoke in front of me? You know, like that ain't none of that being taken place. And then if there is a father figure or a male figure around, like, they not handling it either. Because a lot of them is just as ignorant as the young boy sitting in the living room.
Oh, shoot. You ain't lying.
For real.
Mm-hmm,
so,
mm-hmm,
like,
mm-hmm.
it's the same cycle. Like, I be staying away from kids, Joe. And, like, kids to me, when I say kids, I'm talking about it's starting to get to 30. It was about, like, 25 and under, but it's about to be 30 the way things are going, like, seriously. Like, I stay away from kids. I don't play with kids.
I'm going to say I've been blessed to have the complete opposite, and Jay knows. Jay knows my kids. She knows my son. She knows my family, so. I mean, I'm a young mother. I'm 32, but I'm raising my kids exactly how they should be raised, and my son is respectable, closed doors. The teachers commend me because my son says yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, and they don't get that even in the school. You got all these kids like, what? Yeah, I don't play them games.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I was raised by both my parents. So, and the difference is, a lot of these, well, I'm 32 with a 9-year-old and a 3-year-old. You got chicks 32 with a 15 and 16-year-old. So it's been epic failure for a long period of time.
Mm-hmm.
And working with the way where we work, we see so many kids coming through the system because their mom is 32 clubbing instead of worrying about what little Jay is doing on the streets and little Jay dad is in jail. So I guess it is a problem, but there's also the complete opposite. My brother's an excellent role model for my son, went to the military, came home, has had the same position for 13 years. Yeah, I mean, So, it's both ends of it, and it's sad that it's getting worse. But I think a big problem is women having kids when they're younger, and they're not knowing how to raise them properly, so they're raising them as their friends. When you see a lot of
them, kids, I mean, really, they be so close in age, they do be their damn friend. Like, this is like the mom's 28, the daughter 14. Ain't neither one of them really know too much about life at this point. So, you know, like, it do be like it's their friend. She's still trying to keep up with the dances her daughter and her friends doing and keep up with the new fashion and the new slang.
And grandma is 40.
Yeah, grandma 40.
They all
lie. You know it. For you know it, they got old boys staying the night.
Mm-hmm.
Not a 15-year-old boyfriend staying the night, because it's cool. Because we was having a twerk party last night, and everybody was over here drinking, and it's all right. That's her boyfriend, and I'd rather be in my house than anywhere else. That type of crazy mentality that people make excuses for when their hands deep in the cookie jar, like up to the elbow. I mean,
right.
So,
but I think the key word I guess used was raised. They're not raising their children. You know, their children are being raised on the streets. They're being raised on the internet, and they're being raised on the TV. You know, you know,
all these rappers are doing with these women. That's what some young girls want to grow up to do, because those rappers are treating them girls well and buying them gifts. These dudes see these rappers or drug dealers are selling drugs, so, oh, that's what I'm going to do, because they don't see better. I make sure my son is in every possible positive thing possible. We're doing 4-H. We're doing science club. We're doing robotics, because that's what I want him to see. We don't listen to none of that rap. We don't do that in this household, because you have to raise them. But then look on the opposite end, kids his age, they want to be Lil Wayne. They want to be the drug dealer up the street.
Exactly. You know, it's all in how they're raised, you know. And like, you know, Alicia was saying earlier, you know, it's not necessarily the older, but it's just like my husband is an example for my daughter. You know, I want her to see him as an example of how a woman should be treated. And my son see how he treats me, you know, and anytime I can go anywhere, and the first thing, like I guess that you have such respectful children. And you don't see that these days. It's very rare. Far and few in between.
Grandmothers be hollering to their grandsons, "Boy, pull your pants up."
And that would never be an issue with my brother, because my brother knows to pull his pants up before he gets to grandma's house, because that's how we were raised. Like, dude, you know we about to be at grandma's house, so he's about to get it together.
Yeah, it's serious.
Would never say that, grandma. I would never. There's a lack of respect, definitely, but you. Adults are respecting themselves. If you out there, as an adult, you're out there doing ignorant things, cussing or sagging. I've seen like 40-year-old men sagging.
So I'm going to tell you another thing that's messing this thing up too. There's another thing that's terrible. The drugs that these kids are using today is out of control too. Like the drugs these kids are using today.
Man,
we would have never thought about. You couldn't convince nobody in my peer age group at their age now to be doing the stuff that they're the pills.
Right.
Drinking promethazine and stuff like we was looking like, what? Like, what are you doing? Get away from me.
Like, no, they smoke in bed bugs. They found a way to be, like, boiling them down and getting the juice off of them and lacing it with stuff, and it does some type of hallucinogen to the brain, and they're getting high off that as well. So, yeah, they're
That's
doing
what
bad
I'm saying. Like, these kids are going crazy, yo.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's the whole thing. Like, you see everything, even in the strip clubs now. You go in there, man, the girls be dazed out, man. They be on dope and all that. Chick nodding off while she on the pole and, you know what I mean? Like, for real. Like, it's crazy now. Like, it's crazy now. So sexuality don't even got the same type of price to it.
Yeah.
I mean,
you know, that's the truth.
So you
and
have to go
thing.
Harder.
You do, because, you know, even when you look at old music and you look at Billie Holiday, and one of her famous lines is, you know, a sight of stocking was something shocking, but now anything goes. Like, if you could just see, like, an ankle, like, ankles was like everything. They'd be like, oh, my God.
Word of mother.
Almost saw her knee. Saw her knee. It was everything. Now, oh, Lord.
Yeah, now people taking their clothes off so much. That it's like, yo, you the niggas is looking at you on stage like, yo, we all naked. What are you doing, oddball?
Yeah, why you got your clothes
like,
on?
Like, you're an oddball now if you ain't ready to, you know what I mean, go all out. And so that's what these kids are being exposed to.
Definitely.
Like, yo, who's twerking the best? We seen this video with this girl twerking. Yo, this girl was on the floor bouncing so hard. I'm talking about she looked like she was beating herself up on the concrete trying to out twerk this other girl. She looked like she was having a heart attack. And they were sitting up there clapping and cheering. I said, yo, this girl ain't no older than like 16 or 17. I said, if that would have been going on when I was younger, yo, whoever her mother was would have jumped off the stoop and just started stomping her ass out. For real. Like, oh, for real, this is what you doing? Shorts all cracked up in your butt and you're jumping around out here for these boys, huh? Yeah, y'all keep the music going. She going in the house when she wakes up.
When she wake up after getting stomped out. Yeah, I think
for real, embarrass you right in front of all your friends. So whatever it was you was doing that was so crazy, like, you will never do it again. Like, it's crazy because now the parents now don't look at the things that the kids do as an embarrassment to them. They be cheering it on.
Yeah.
Like, back in the days, your mother be done killed you. You did something too crazy as a reflection of her. Like, you could just see somebody bringing you to the door, the neighbor, you be begging, and they're like, yo, please, you fucked me up. Don't bring me home. You fucked me up. Because you already know, my mom's was so quiet and shit. She answered the door. The person telling her what's going on, she ain't even looking at them no more. She just looking at me like, okay. Yeah. Thank you. Get in the house. It's over. From
after
that point on, like.
But Aaron, let me ask you: do you think that, you know, and even like the ladies, the authors, do you think with the competition? We talk about the competition with women, and I got to be pretty, I got to have the longer hair, I got to have the longer lashes. Do you think that now it just makes it even easier, you know, for dudes to take advantage of women because they are trying to throw everything on the table, competing with each other? What
do you think,
Aaron? Or either
I, one of them? I think that I believe what I said earlier. I think that dudes don't care no more. Like, it's not enough. It's not. You know what it is? Like, so many chicks is trying to look the same and be the same that dudes don't really have. They don't even have any picks anymore. Like, yo, I like her because, like, it's almost nothing you can find on this girl that's different from the next one. Because they switching weaves back and forth every other week. The nails is a difficult. So everybody look like, if she don't look like her this week, she'll look like her next week. So, you know what I mean? It'd be, like, for real. So it's like now it's like back in the days, I felt like men had more of a choice. And that's what kept the relationships more bonded, because people were actually with who they wanted to be with. Now, it's like you meeting the people you meeting, it ain't you meeting somebody's representative nowadays is an understatement. Like, seriously, like, are you kidding me? You meeting like 550 different people at once because they're trying to be so many different people, and society has this pressure on them to fit in. And there's no way you can escape, because if you go on social media, you got to fit in. You at the workplace, you got to fit in. You at home, you got to fit in. You know what I mean? Like, it's no piece of space anymore. Like, I used to come home, my mom would be reading. Like, everybody would just be doing their own thing. But it was structured. You know what I mean? Like, it's just crazy now.
How do you feel about that, Jay? Is she still on the clubhouse?
Is she still with us?
I know a call or two may have dropped.
I'm here. I see 317.
Okay. Is Jay still in the clubhouse? And the other author, is she still in the clubhouse as well?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay.
We're here.
Hey, Jay.
Hello?
Yes.
I guess I feel what Aaron is saying, but, I mean, it goes back to the men going after them shots. So if women know that's what men are going for first, then I guess they're all acting the same. You just sat there and said it's easy for a man to grab a shot, It's like you pulling them off an assembly line, and they all know that's what the guys are going for, and they want big boobies, long hair. They're going to go after what the men are thinking they want. You got some women who are individuals and who want to be themselves, but like you said, they the ones you got to work for, and y'all men ain't out here trying to work for them.
Okay. I agree. I think that, it, like we just said, with the women, the way they're competing for each other, they like a dime a dozen. They can just pluck right through them.
Yes.
And the ones that are different are, you know, so eccentric in their, you know, your uniqueness and their independence. They like, oh, she's a bee. You know what I'm saying? Because she got, you know, her independence and her confidence is up because she's, you know, she's satisfied in her career, you know, and her status, you know, and her money
and the
status.
Men are so weak. They're so weak, they don't have to come after them women. They want them, but they don't even want to work for them. That's just like everything, like you say, kids want everything easy. That's why they go sell drugs instead of going to college. They want everything easy. That's why they go up to these sites instead of getting an educated, intelligent woman that's going to inspire them and make them think about things. They don't want that because they ain't ready to work for it.
Uh-huh. And then they give them a lot of times, they tear them down to get them to a lower level so that they can actually deal with them. You know what I'm saying? Like, they'll have a strong woman, but they'll do everything in the process to tear her down so that she'll be at a lower level. You know, she still got the job and all that, but don't think you got too much going on because you can't be above me.
Yeah, because right. He's insecure with himself, and he can't handle that. That's just a controlling nature of a man to do that when they feel insecure is to tear them down. It's certainly what you see with women doing with other women. When you're insecure with yourself, you tear them down so you can feel equal to them.
Right.
Men have a lot of insecurities. I'll give you ladies that. You know, we do have a lot of insecurities that are buried, and a lot of men won't admit that. Like, a lot of men won't say that. The main thing, men, is there ain't nothing bothering me. You know what I mean? So, but, you know, at the same time, men's behavior can't be responsible for women's and vice versa. You know what I mean? Like, you can't say women are doing this because that's what men want. And then at the same time be getting, like, trying to chastise me for using the word disobedient. Because if you're doing what men want, then when you're not doing what men want, then what are you doing? You're being disobedient. So I just think that, you know, Yeah, that's plain. Like, if your excuse to me is that women are doing this because that's what they think men want, then they're going according to man's will. So you can't say to me at the same time, like,
but the women that are doing
you're
it,
trying
women
to,
not being
you're trying to twist
it.
You're trying to twist that around because
no,
the other, I want to say is this day, she said that from the beginning. She said that when you're in a relationship, you have to sit down and you have to have a common ground. You got to have a base. You got to have an understanding on what's what. You know, if you're in a relationship and you smoke but the spouse don't smoke, you're supposed to stop smoking. How many people don't stop smoking? They continue to smoke even though their spouse does not smoke. That's being disobedient.
That's what you're supposed to do? Or is that what you think as a spouse who doesn't smoke and, you know, doesn't want a spouse who smokes?
He don't smoke. He doesn't smoke.
I know, but all right, he doesn't smoke. But what I'm saying is that why you said you're supposed to do that? Because what about the person who doesn't smoke, right, but is married to the person who does smoke, and that doesn't bother them because that's not what builds or tears down their relationship.
Okay, so what about the one that has the wife that likes to hang out and go to bars and the husband doesn't?
Well, if that's what she likes to do and he doesn't, then guess what? That's probably those times when they don't need to be being together. Like, for instance, if I didn't like going to bingo, I don't want to be sitting next to my wife talking about, no, he said G32. You know what I mean? Like, no, I don't want to be there. Do your thing. You know what I mean? While you doing that, I might be here knocking out crossword puzzles or whatever it is my thing is. You know, like, just because we marry and we growing as one, we growing as one entity, but it's our individualism that keeps the growth and the strength in that.
Definitely.
Yeah, you definitely can't lose yourself in a relationship.
Uh-uh.
That's true.
And that's why, like you said, before it gets to the point of marriage, you have to have it established what you're willing to and to not put up with. Like you said,
Lord,
if I don't
mother.
Mind you smoking it, so be it. But
yeah,
if I do mind you smoking, can chop it up now. Why continue? And it's weighing the pros and cons. You might like 75% of what he does, and that's that 25% that you can deal with because you're not going to get perfect. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's like you have to. You have to realize those things. Like that's just it's relationships are about, especially and see we really too. Like I wasn't when I was talking about the first part of that. Like I was talking about the before the relationship part because if men are going at thoughts or women who are promiscuous, then what relationship are they looking for? So I'm talking about the before. I'm talking about the puss part, the puss and boots part when it's just puss and boots. Like it's you know it ain't no relationship formed. It's back to okay, shorty's dressing like this. She's giving me this type of vibe, and that's what I'm going after. I don't even care, you know, if she's a Harvard student. Right now she's looking like Vanessa Del Rio. You know what I mean? It's the just the whole thing, man. Like. It's just the whole thing with how women are carrying themselves. And man can't be blamed for having women do that because just like all men are walking around with their pants sagging, you got men that get up and put on suits and, you know, they carry themselves accordingly. And they do the – but see, like I said, most of those men are taken. Women that are seeing that is because they looking at their husband.
Hmm. Wow.
And so to them, they would like to think that most men are like that because, you know, they're seeing that daily, like, yo, my husband do this for me. So they couldn't even fathom that another woman is getting treated less below than what, you know, the standard is.
Less than below the standard, yes.
Like, what? He doesn't open doors for you. You know what I mean? Like you see that. You see that in instances. Yo, I don't know when the last time I actually seen a guy get out of his car and walk around to the other side and open up a woman's door. I don't know when the last time I seen that. Like, I'm no bull.
I've seen it recently. But like you said, it'd be your own man. So, yeah, I can't say. I can't.
Yeah,
I'm
talking about like a brand new
thing. Mm-hmm. I know my baby does it, but I can't say I'm going to pay attention to what somebody else is doing. Like, usually you see people in the supermarket, parking lot, everything. Everybody just out the car on their own. The man be out the car halfway in the store before the woman even get out and get her purse. He be talking about some, come on, so I can hit this alarm. Like, he be like, he at the door. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on, hurry up. Get the kids. Let's go. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah, you don't see it. Even with people who are married, sometimes you don't see it. You know, I have seen, you know, married couples who are out together. The guy is eye hustling all over the place. He ain't even paying attention to his family. The woman got to walk up in his face and say, you ain't hear me talking to you? Because his eyeballs is all over the rest stop. Like, it's crazy, you know. He's clearly married, so even people that are married,
I don't
think
they come from, though. They just don't come out the blue, though. All the men that are marrying women and are doing these things, they have to come from somewhere before they're married. So it has to exist.
Mm-hmm.
But it can't just be all married men because at some point those married men weren't married. You
right.
know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Yeah, but you know what? They ran into a good woman. And like I said, it'd be the age group too. It'd be the age group. Like it don't be a bunch of people. Like you have very, very few people that are in that age, below that age group I said, that really be having it together unless they got strong, like they have strong family morals and background. I'm talking about their family was in the church heavy, both parents was in the crib, you know, they really, and I'm talking about the male and the female. Like it ain't, you know, this the female who came from the good home where, you know, the father might have been the deacon and the church and moms was this and that, is not linking up with the guy that was the runaway and going from home to home. because that's not her world. So, of course, when she meets somebody, it's going to be somebody of the standards of the world that she's coming from. Because that's the only person she's really going to identify with, the guy who's been running from place to place. As soon as she hear him talk, she's going to already know she's not interested in him. That's that guy that she talked about earlier that she said that wants those type of women but can't get them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because they don't want that type. As soon as he opened his mouth, they like, are you kidding me? Like, they just trying to smile, and the smile is nervous because they like, yo, how the hell can I get the hell out of here? Is this nigga about to mug me?
Mm-hmm.
Also, like, it be them age groups.
Well, this is Tanya. I'm still on the line. I'm holding out for one because that's what I prefer, that kind of guy.
Hmm.
But again,
yeah,
it's on your mentality. You know, it's what you want.
Yeah,
if you
exist.
Want, you know, a thug, you know, just for, you know, a quick roll or whatever. But if you're looking for some substance, I think you would be looking for something different.
I got some great places for you to go and find the type of man you're looking for. There's places I used to go when I was looking to pick up women.
Well, I am ready. Tell me where.
The laundromat. Number one spot. You see
the
a man doing his own laundry.
And he folds good, too. He knows how to
then you,
the fold.
Not,
the
and not just that. You know that.
Tell you.
You know that he needs a woman because ain't no woman going to send her man out to the laundry without being there with him.
Hmm.
You know what I mean? So, that's number one.
Who's supposed to wash without me?
Yeah, some Mr. Moms out there.
Hello.
Oh. Walmart.
He got
another key
place. Walmart, like I used to call it.
If you see a man in there shopping alone.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking about, like, you got to be looking for different things because you got to watch a man's movements because you got to know the things how that a woman will buy and know when a woman has sent her man to the store and now he's in there because she sent him there and he's not really alone.
Mm-hmm.
He's just alone at the time. Like, you have to watch the things that men buy in the store.
Mm-hmm. What they buy?
Like,
Aaron.
You see a man with just something like some milk.
I have a question.
Yeah,
okay. While she's at Walmart, I agree Walmart is a great place to meet men. But what do you feel about women initiating contact, you know, to exchange a phone number to meet them? Or do you think the man should be the one to initiate contact?
No, I think that if a woman's out there and she knows in her mind already that she's looking, then she needs to make that known to someone that she may see that she may think she has an interest in. And especially in a supermarket, it's much easier for a woman because it would seem like a woman's place to be approaching a man in a supermarket. And it's real simple. It could be anything. Like, oh, you know what? I get Del Monte, too. You buy Del Monte? That's... Yeah, that's the only brand I buy. The conversation is sparked.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Just off of something simple and common. It ain't nothing out the way. You ain't even say how you doing. But you gave that vibe and that air. You acknowledge what he's getting. You commented on it. You getting what you getting at the same time. And the conversation is sparked. So now you can see by whatever his response is where it's going to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Just keep things, just simple things. You don't want to come out the blue and be, you know, like, hey, how you doing? Like, especially if it's a single man, he in Walmart, it might be 2 in the morning or something, he's shopping, just got off work. And like, hey, how you doing? You like, he might start trying to go through his mental Rolodex, like, yo, did I knock her off and where? I mean, I don't remember. You know what I mean? So you want to keep it calm and just calm right to what's going on, what's going on with the mood. He's shopping, you shopping. You know what I mean? Boom, you spark the conversation. And by the time y'all get to the register, you know what I mean? Y'all probably be done, got to that point where y'all exchange emails or a number or something, if it was really there, because you'll know off of that initial contact with the Del Monte shit.
The features aren't involved. Forget about it, huh?
Yeah, because if he if he just, you know, if he doesn't give any feedback to that, like,
mm-hmm.
oh yeah, and just hurry up and get his shit and try to keep it moving.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, like, cause any man that's really interested, he gonna go right into that with something smooth. Like, yeah, that's the only thing I cook with. You gonna let the woman know right off the rip, like, yeah, I cook. like this saying, yeah, I ain't buying this for nobody else. Like, I get busy in the kitchen, and the woman gonna be like, oh, you cook? So that's it, right there. Like, you cook. Like, you got to cook me something one day. I don't know too many men that cook. One woman and bang, they off to the races. You know what I mean? So
you said off to the races. You so crazy.
Yeah.
Lord have mercy.
Well, yeah, we have the conversation on God.
The conversation has gone everywhere. It's a good thing. It's our special edition of Writing Royalty Radio, our Wednesday night edition. You are in the clubhouse with the crew, Aaron Bebo. We got the fabulous Miss Tony and Miss Leisha. I am Nene Capri. We have our two wonderful, wonderful authors. We want you to introduce yourselves again to our listening audience. Let them know what work you have, if it's coming out, or anything you already have, and how they can get your work. Please introduce yourself again, ladies.
Hey, this is Donisha DeReese. Once again, once we wrote The Hustle, we just started taking the initiative to try to send information and send out query letters to agents and publishers. And we sent it to, I don't know, how many did we send it to, like 12, 15, Jay?
Yeah.
And then what happened one day, we received an email from Vanna B.
Mm-hmm.
She, with Whole Street Publishing. She emailed us. She enjoyed her sample chapters, and she wanted to read more.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So when did your project drop?
It dropped July 31st, actually.
Okay.
The hustle, and yeah, it dropped July 31st, so it's been out for basically a month.
Okay.
And the name of the book is The Hustle, A Means to an End.
Mm-hmm. And how can they get it? Where?
Amazon, Barnes & Noble.
Mm-hmm.
Or through our publisher, Whole Street Publishing. You can get the paperback. E-book lovers, like you said, it's available for the Kindle and the Nook.
Mm-hmm.
And we're working on it here into some stores. It's actually, if you're in Philly, it's in Black & Noble. We do know that. It is in Black & Noble if you're out in Philly.
Okay.
Shout out to Black
and we're
Nobel.
Available in some libraries as well.
Okay. That's
so go
up.
Out,
and
if it's not in your library,
too.
Request it.
Request
yes.
it,
and they will get it.
Right. Like she said, we have some copies coming here to Indianapolis, Naptown. So everybody listening from that, please go out, grab it, request it. In your city, request it so we can get it everywhere.
Definitely. Yeah, shout out to
Vanna. That's what's up.
And also, if you live in the Indianapolis or Chicago area, we do have some signed books available for sale.
Mm-hmm.
So contact us. You can go to our fan page at facebook.com/JayandDenisha.
Okay.
Okay.
That's what's up. So do you want to weigh in on anything else on the subject tonight, books and boots, sex in the industry, you know, you talked about in your personal industry, and since you've been in the literary game, do you see any sexuality or anything leading in the literary game?
Well, as far as our experience goes, most of our contact with literary has been with Vanna B, and I don't think that me and Denisha have used any of our sexual prowesses to get Vanna to sign with us. So, as far as we go, no. But I'm pretty sure that it happened.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And we can say that I know when we did a virtual book release party, and just based off of our videos and Vanna B's video, it seems like we got a lot of likes. So, I guess so if you're pleasing to the eye, I'm sure it'll attract the attention of some people who would then maybe listen to your book.
Yeah, we look cute.
yeah, we're cute. Aaron?
Well, I mean, that's a good thing. Now how does that work with being in a relationship?
With writing a book?
No, with being cute. That was nice. Look, you tried to dance away from that one, huh? With what, writing a book? Absolutely.
Being cute
on
Facebook? He saw what I had on. My husband saw what I had on before we filmed any video. He was actually there helping us, and he complimented me on how good I looked. And that was pretty much it. It was never even a discussion about it, like, no, you're too sexy. Are you showing too much? Are you doing too much?
No, I'm not
like,
talking
like
about with
hair?
Your husband so much, but, like with you being married or in a relationship, when you post pictures and the comments that men put up.
Oh, it depends on what it says. If it's not disrespectful, it is, hey, look, correct them or you ignore it. But you can't feed into it.
Right. Mm. Definitely.
Yeah, that's good. That's great. That's a great answer and great advice for anybody listening. For real.
But that even goes for, I guess, for a single woman. You can't feed into it anyway because they'll be thinking it's something more than what it is. I don't mind going out there hustling these books in my heels because I wear them every day. And if some guy look at me and want to stop and talk to me because he thinks I'm attractive, I'm pushing them books on him. Got a couple of sales
and
today.
And Denisha has got a couple of inboxes. Like, ever since we put up the fan page, I think people have been inboxing Denisha.
The book is great. I hope you enjoy it. Like, with anything, you have to let a guy either know you're not, like you said, you're not interested. You have to correct them.
And they keep it moving.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
And since you have their attention, you might as well talk about the book.
I'm pinching the bug. And then if he's not interested, just like if he feels like I'm not interested in really hollering at him, he's going to be like, oh, all right, if you're not interested in getting my book, I'm like, deuces too. Okay. Good day to you.
Absolutely.
And I mean, like, and I have people that will stop me on the street because of my hair. And I'll give them a flyer and be like, hey, get my book. It's just about using that opportunity once you grab someone's attention, I guess. Just use that opportunity to, I guess, get what you want. I guess it doesn't matter. Like, and if it's something that's disrespectful going too far, it's up to you on how far you let it go.
Right, definitely.
Yeah, that's true. But I think, too, another thing, like, that's great that y'all pushing y'all books. When y'all, you know, when you out there and guys are coming, you got to definitely be doing that. But a lot of times, I think people be getting so caught up and looking cute, not y'all, but they just be forgetting that they even selling books.
No.
Like, for real, I'm keeping it real.
I work in an environment where I work around, man. I actually go, like, that's my dress. Like, how are you going to dress for work? How am I going to dress to sell these books? Hey, I ain't going to lie, I might throw the heels on. Because I know the guys like the heels. Like, that's my dress attire for work today. I'm about to sell books. And I bet you a couple of guys is going to stop and talk to me and holler at a woman because she looks nice. That's my dress attire for it. Like,
I bet. I ain't got no problem with it. But just don't be forgetting the agenda.
You start getting too many compliments,
and then you done forgot about the books. Like, yo, I'm just cute as hell today.
I understand that, but no, I go out. That's my motive. That, like, money, selling my book, whatever my motive is, that's how I'm dressed for the day.
Yeah, because
at the end of
definitely...
the day, the number one thing is getting our book out there, making sure it sells. We want it to be successful. So no matter what's going on in our personal lives, and it's both crazy for both of us, we're pushing this book, and we're doing what we need to do to get it out there. At the same time, we're working on our next project.
Yeah.
I feel you, and I really think that y'all are going to be successful.
Did you get our book, Aaron?
No, I didn't even know the book was out because I've been. Let me tell you what I've been doing. No, don't feel like that. I've been over here working. Like, seriously, I have been, like, super-duper underground working, and I haven't been having too much time to be peeping anything because I've been having to watch out for other people that I got things going on with. So I'll be having to be keeping on track of what's going on over here so I could do what I'm doing over here. And, you know, I was in boxing camp for a couple of months. But I'm back out now. I'm going to get the book because I like the way y'all talking. For real. I like
Aaron,
the way y'all talking.
You will like it. I think you will be entertaining. You will be able to analyze the heck out of that book and get these characters down packed, especially with the Bella and the Bow and their two different personalities. I bet you can peg them down.
Definitely. Yeah, I definitely want to. You know what? Honestly, I need something like that. Like, it has to be something that I have to analyze because if it's not, I'm not gonna be too excited. Like, I definitely want my brain to get pulled on. For sure.
Well, it would do that for you. It's something for you to analyze, and you'd be entertained at the same time.
Exactly. We call it entertainment with a message. We definitely doing it for the love of it because we just love to write, using our imagination. But we definitely feel like we try to put a message out there, and it'll show you how we are as people.
And shout to y'all for that, too, because a lot of authors ain't doing that no more. And I don't be knowing what be going on with these books. Like, I don't be knowing what the purpose be. Like,
right.
I'd be like, seriously, like, not trying to be funny. I'm just saying, I'd be like, yo, was this written so that there could be a part two and a three and a four so it never ends? Like, what is the point to this book? Like, I'm serious. I'm really running into a lot of that. I'm glad y'all are definitely putting that back into the game because that needs to, that's an element that's starting to slip away.
And we didn't recon and looked at what readers like, and that's one of the biggest things that we saw is people are like, why is this book so short? Why does it leave so many questions? Like you said, what's the point of this book? Like you're seeing books 100 pages, 60 pages, these short stories, and you're waiting for part two to get answered. So we definitely tried not to do that. We want to make sure our readers understand the characters and their whole journey. Not to say that we don't leave it out there because life is a journey, and we can't put the sister's whole journey in one book.
Nah, I get it. I just feel what you were saying. Like, certain things just really be allowing me to look into the mindset of a writer as opposed
right.
to somebody who's just writing because they know they can upload some books.
You'll get it. Anyone who picks up the book, we're definitely sure you'll enjoy it. Like we said, we got a message in there, a lot of messages in there, and you'll just see it. And one of the things, the book is called The Hustle. And I think the topic for tonight, Puss in Boots, hustling your sexuality. So we got it's in there, like you're using your sexuality to hustle up on the come up.
I figured that because y'all start screaming about Chi-Town and all that. For real.
Chi-Town.
That's the home of the pimps on the sly.
So
I know y'all was dropping some game up in there.
Yes,
sure.
It definitely happened.
See, y'all gotta check my joint out too, though. Y'all gotta go get The Last Don, Death to a Squad. Because guess what? A great portion of the book take place out in Chicago.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's called The Last.
The Last Don, Death to the Squad.
Okay,
Death
to the Squad.
It sounds interesting.
Yeah, it is.
It's
very
interesting.
Just the title. Yeah, it sounds intriguing.
Yeah, that's what had me. That's what had me in boxing camp. That's why I missed y'all.
I had you in camp. Miss Tony, Miss Leisha, please weigh in. Is there anything else you want to weigh in on this evening?
I love hanging out with y'all every Wednesday, Thursday.
We might even have that book. Do we got that book? The Hustle? By
Aaron is checking his sources. Go ahead, Miss.
Right,
but,
what's the
author's name on the book?
It's
Danisha DeReese.
And J Darlene.
I didn't get the last name.
J Darlene. J A I.
J Darlene.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Do we got that?
Yeah. Don't get it on.
Well, I just want to say it's been interesting to get to know the two authors, and it's always great to talk to Tanya. I'm not sure if she's still on the line.
Yes, she's still here.
Okay, I was just trying to get a quick synopsis of exactly what the story was about, because I'm a reader, first and foremost. So I'm always interested in new works. This is Tony, by the way.
Okay, you want to do it, Jay? Okay, so I'll do the book is about two sisters who are involved in a legal hustle, and it catches up to them in the beginning of the book. And one of the sisters immediately wants to get out of the hustle while the other one wants to remain in it, and it almost, like, rips their relationship as sisters. Mm-hmm. Finally, at one point in the book, they both get out the hustle, and everything's good, but their past comes back to haunt them, and then they have to hustle themselves out of this new situation. And the book is just filled with murders, car chases, wild parties. It has a lot of turns, and it'll take you on a ride and a journey as they go through their lives.
Right. And I mean, and as the title says, a means to an end. You'll see these two sisters on a journey. They're hustling and doing this as a means to an end. It's not like it's a permanent thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're just trying to do it so they can get out the game and lead normal lives. But like you say, sometimes what you do to get out digs you in a further hole, into a hole further. So is it worth it? Is it worth doing your dirt if it's going to come back on you in the end? So it's definitely the message of watch what you do, because your past can always catch up with you.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Wow.
And they definitely use their faith to get them out the hustle.
Mm. Okay, go ahead, Tony.
No, I was gonna say, like you say, any good book with a good murder is always good.
Mm-hmm.
You need a good juicy murder every now and then.
Yeah, you need that for something, Miss Lisa. Is Lisa still on here?
Absolutely.
Okay, don't be down.
Here.
Oh well. Okay.
Hey, we gotta go down there sometime.
I went down there. I had a lovely time. I took Aaron's place because Aaron's usually down there. So, you know, once he came out, I went in and just locked the door. So, go ahead.
Mimi is a mess. She's so bad.
I'll tell you what happened down there. Go ahead.
So bad. I'm just really, really enjoying the call. You ladies, you know, I'm a reader. I don't read as much as I used to because Nene keeps me all busy and stuff, but.
Oh, Lord. Blame it on me.
But I'm definitely, I'm in the green room trying to one-click a book.
Great. I mean, you know what? Don't definitely check out our reviews and see what our readers think of it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people are loving it. They're digging it. We're excited just about moving forward.
I'm going to check it out myself. I ain't going to lie. Review, you can't depend on reviews. Because you can have a great book. And
true.
Nobody
yeah.
may not even, you know what I mean? Or you could have a terrible book. But I believe y'all on point because I know Vanna B be on point.
Uh-huh.
Yes, she
for real,
do.
Like, you know what I mean? So I really believe y'all going to be good. Like, y'all already in good hands. Y'all sound like y'all in good spirits. Y'all enjoy what y'all doing.
Definitely. Love what we're doing. And shout out to Vanna
exactly.
B. Publishing.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Bad Love. Love
Hope Street Publishing.
Yes, Hope Street Publishing out of Philadelphia. Yes. So
yeah,
you got to associate yourself with good people. That's what's going to keep you going.
And Vanna is great to work with, and she's been instrumental to getting this book off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely.
That's an excellent thing. We're happy that she's able to get this project jumping and get you ladies out there. You're a very good representation of the company, and as well as yourself. As awesome. Go ahead, Aaron.
No, I apologize. That was a mistake.
Well, since you done got all out there, you might as well say something. Since you done jumped
no,
out.
It really it had nothing to do with. I saw something and I was like, "What?"
Okay.
We've been talking all evening. I'm surprised you didn't have something to say.
Oh,
Alicia, this is a talk show. This is what we're supposed to do.
No, I know it's a talk show, but you. You've been getting it in all these
years. She's trying to say is that you just have a lot to say, not that it's bad. It's just that and you're interesting to listen to it. Well, you make some good interesting points, even if we don't always agree with you.
Oh.
Yeah, thank you.
That's
you
all
know
she
what?
Was trying
I'm gonna
to
let
say.
From now I'm about to let Leisha take the lead. I'm going to come in, I'm going to put my shades on, I'm going to put my feet up on the desk, and I'm going to turn my mic away from me, and I'm going to sit back and just let the show go on.
Absolutely
not.
Because I refuse to be infringing on all the time and taking up all the talk time.
No.
I am no. That is, I'm going to make sure that these 15 minutes are given out.
Karen is a mess.
People,
your input is
you
are
hard for that break. It's okay. You deserve that break. You can put in words. Go ahead and have a sip of a Coke or something. We understand.
I ain't gonna lie. I'm dealing only with Pepsi.
Uh-uh.
The new generation. Then it with the generation X.
I got you. I'm probably facing this, I believe. Go for it. You deserve it. You're working hard out there.
I'm trying. I really am. I really am trying. I got
this is actually our first radio interview, first thing, and you guys have made it very pleasant for us. We're excited to continue doing things like this. So, yeah, it's been a very good experience for us.
Well, thank you.
We appreciate it. Yeah, we appreciate that you came and that you enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
And we enjoyed you. Like, you know, it's always good to get different perspectives because it opens up all eyes to different things.
Mm-hmm.
And that was definitely what was going on tonight. So I think it was a great interview.
I do, too. I think it was awesome. I think everybody had their opinion and the input, and that's the good thing, and that's what literature and art is about, you know, expressing yourself, your form. So, yes, I'm very pleased that we had you on here, and we were able to make it a really good experience for you.
Definitely.
Do you have any findings or anything coming up anytime soon?
We're actually trying to put something together here in Indianapolis, because I'm from NAP, so I have a lot of family, friends, and people. We're trying to get it together the first weekend in October, which is actually our Circle City Classic weekend, and just have people come out, get the hustle if you haven't gotten it, get our autographs, and just have a little something to thank everybody for their love and support. So that should be coming up. First weekend in October is when we're trying to put it together. Just thank everybody for the support here in Indianapolis.
We can't forget our virtual bookstore. With the AAMBC website, we'll be doing our virtual book tour for the whole month of September.
Okay. And how do they get involved with the virtual book tour? What do they have to do to get involved with that?
Just
how to
ask
on
the
website. They can hop on the website.
I mean,
we definitely have some information on there as well, the African Americans on the Move Book Club.
Okay.
If you their website, they have information, an interview that we've done with them, and hopefully you'll just see us around virtually everywhere, just popping up, and you'll run into us somewhere this month.
Okay.
That's what's awesome. Up.
And I think really we even did a virtual interview with them as well. That's on the website.
I think y'all going to do good because y'all really sound excited about what y'all doing.
Mm-hmm.
And everything that y'all getting into.
Yeah, you're doing something you love.
Yeah.
You can't help like we're over the moon about it. It's a dream come true for both of us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you got to follow your heart, not the money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that brings success.
Yeah.
Yes. That's powerful right there in itself. You're absolutely correct. Aaron?
I agree with him 100%. Like, you know, I never, you know, authors wasn't, I never even thought of nothing about authors being rich and famous when I was reading. And even when I decided I wanted to write, like, I just felt like they were important people.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, and growing up, I grew up reading, like, it was something with a message. When I was reading Sister Soldier or whatever I was reading when I was growing up, I felt like there was a message in there, and that's what attracted me to reading.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's one of the biggest things. Like, you're writing, you're sharing a piece of yourself with the whole world, hoping they enjoy and feel you. So,
yeah, did you read No Disrespect by Sister Soldier?
I have not.
You got to get that. See, everybody be knowing about the coldest winter ever, but nobody don't be knowing about No Disrespect. I definitely encourage all women, black women, definitely to read it and give it to your daughters too and any other young females you see coming up because it was real. You know what I mean? So they could fall in love with that the same way they fell in love with The Coldest Winter Ever.
Right.
But she was really saying some things in there.
Right. Definitely. I guess while we're shouting out books, another one, I love The Bluest Eye. I think I read that. I don't know if any of you all
read it. Yes, Toni Morrison.
Toni Morrison, I think it's a wonderful book, and I think it pertains so much right now.
Yes, that is one of my favorites. You know, definitely ties to what we were talking about earlier with the identity crisis with women and thinking that you have to fit in with the stereotype in the media, you know, depiction of women. Yes, that Bluest Eye is very heavy.
Yeah, I read it in college, actually, and we had to write on it, and it was wrote a paper, Why Isn't the Beautiful Black Girl Beautiful? And it's because, like you said, the media makes us feel like we're not beautiful and black and thick and natural hair, because that's what society tells us.
Definitely. I wrote a paper on it, too, in college. Definitely. Loved it. That book was very powerful. Black women need to read that book as well.
Yes.
And that little girl, her struggle was, you know, that blue eye. You know, she had that blue eye. She had that privilege in society, and she would really be somebody. Like, somebody would love her if she had the bluest eye. So, yeah, that was just excellent, excellent read. Toni Morrison, yes, definitely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, get me on my soapbox, Aaron. You know I go there.
I definitely had to shout out No Disrespect because every time somebody brings up Sister Soldier, like I don't, you know, a lot of people don't be knowing about that piece of work.
Definitely.
And that's just as important as The Coldest Winter Ever. I'll just be liking to mention it, and I know, you know, her name carry that type of weight that they might actually go check the title out.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, but tonight has been a wonderful, wonderful edition of Writing Royalty Radio. We thank both of our wonderful, wonderful authors for coming out and sharing their work with us, our hosts, spending the time, all of our callers, our chat room was so filled up. They were in there listening to the show. We thank you all for coming out and supporting Writing Royalty. And with that, we're going to say good night, and we'll see you on Sunday evening for our next Author Wild show. Aaron,
no, we have a show tomorrow.
Do we? Oh, my goodness.
Yes, and Friday. We are in the building for the rest of the week. And Nene and Aaron will be on Mac Mama Show on Friday evening as well. So you guys make sure y'all tune in for that.
9 p.m. Eastern time.
Okay.
Yes.
Absolutely. We're going to have one tomorrow. We're going to have Nicole Jackson, who is G Street. And we're going to have Raymond. I believe that's how you pronounce his name. I might be messing it up.
WCP.
From WCP, Raymond TK. From Wahida Clark Publishing. So we're going to be in the building tomorrow. We will see you guys tomorrow. And then on Friday, we will have author Sweet Pea, whose book dropped today, and author Ingrid Brown.
Right. So we got a live full week. Please join us. And thank you very much. Drop the end of the show beat. Let's go. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Hi.
Hi.
Good night.
Good night.
It's a done deal. It's a done deal. It's a done deal.